All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Mem Zayin. We are picking up Mem Vav Amud Beis 46b, and we're picking up last two lines of Mem Vav Amud Beis. Lokeach Mishnah. Remember, we're talking about the different people who have financial relationships with each other, yet have the ability to testify on behalf of one another. So says the Gemara, Lokeach Rishon, we started with this yesterday about the lender testifying on behalf of the borrower. So Lokeach Rishon, Meir Lokeach Shein. So we'll say, this case over here is where two people purchase pieces of property from Reuven. So let's say Reuven sells a piece of property to Shimon, he sells a piece of property to Levi. And then what happens? Someone comes along and challenges Levi's right, the second purchaser's right to his piece of land. So the Gemara says the first purchaser, Shimon, has the ability to testify on behalf of Levi to secure Levi's right to his land. Now, what's the issue over here? We'll say the issue over here is the following. If, let's say, Reuven the seller, has creditors, which means that it's possible that there are people who have pre-existing liens on these pieces of land that have been sold to Reuven, from Reuven, to Shimon and Levi. So we'll say, the way liens work are the following. It's almost like a LIFO approach. It'd be last out, first in. The idea over here would be that I will say, if you have a lien, if I'm a lender and I have a lien against property, and my borrower has multiple pieces of property, so the lien constantly shifts to the available property. So for example, if I'm Reuven and I sell a piece of property to Shimon, a piece of property to Levi, and then what happens? I, Reuven, default to my creditors. So my creditors want to go ahead and not collect from the lands. So we'll say, so they had a lien against all the property. But because when I sold Reuven his property, they were still unencumbered property. So the lien shifts to that unencumbered property. When I now sell to Levi, so Levi also has a property with lien. So when the creditor comes along, the creditor first has to collect from Levi before he goes ahead and could collect from Shimon. So I might have thought that Shimon can't really go ahead and testify on behalf of Levi. Why? Because it's in his best interest that Levi retain that property in order that the creditors of Reuven not come after Shimon. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that Shimon is permitted to go ahead and testify on behalf of Reuven as long as the Islay Ara Achrisi. We'll say that is assuming that Levi, the second purchaser, has other parcels of land, so that Shimon's testimony is not viewed as a conflict of interest. Fine. Top of Mem Zayin. Kablon. Well, so what about a Kablon? So we'll say Kablon is a guarantor. So the Rashbam brings down over here, but he's not just any guarantor, but rather Arif Kablon, the Gemara says over here, is Kablon Sheki, Ari Kablon Shekibel Hamaos Miyado Shalmalva, Finasan Liyado Shalovas. So we'll say this type of Kablon is someone who receives the money ultimately again from the lender himself, and he gives it over to the borrower. Vizet Dino Dmimi Sheyirza Malva Yiparatchila. So we'll say in this kind of case, we're talking about an Arif Kablon. An Arif Kablon is a type of guarantor who I will say when the lender calls, when the debt is due, the lender has the ability to collect from either the borrower or from the arif. So we'll say under normal circumstances, when it comes to a guarantor can only be approached when after the borrower has shown an inability to pay the debt. However, there are certain types of kablon, specifically an arif kablon, whom the creditor has the ability to approach first. So we'll say, listen to this case. So in this case over here, the Gemara is saying that a kablon has the ability, kablon, amrilei meid, v'amrilei einu meid. So we'll say, is a kablon permitted to go ahead and testify on behalf of the borrower in order to secure the borrower's rights to certain properties? So, or do we view his testimony as a conflict of interest? So some say he can testify, some say he cannot testify. Amrilei meid, so some say he can testify, ka'arev dami, because Rabbi says he's no different than any other arev, he's no different than any other guarantor. Va'amrilei einu meid, denechalei, Telehavu biade tarvayu. Well, say others say he can't testify. Why? Because it is in. You know, say even if let's say this particular borrower has another piece of land, it is still in the Arif Kablon's interest that the borrower have multiple pieces of land. Why? I will say because the Arif Kablon is at what we'll call it a huge disadvantage. The huge disadvantage is that the lender has the ability to come to this Ari to collect his debt, even if the borrower has money. Not only that, but even if the borrower has land, but it's not the kind of land that the Arev likes, that the Arev wants. Even if the borrower has land, but it's not the kind that the creditor likes, the creditor could go to the Arev. Therefore, it's in the Arev's best interest to ensure that the borrower has as many types and parcels of land as possible, so as to heighten the probability that the creditor is going to collect from the borrower and not come to the Arev Kablon. And therefore again, even if the borrower has more than one parcel of land, it would still be deemed a conflict of interest for the Arev Kablon to testify in his behalf. And Rabbi say that is indeed how we paskin, that an Arev Kablon, this type of guarantor with a heightened responsibility, is not permitted to testify on behalf of the borrower, as it's considered to be an ongoing conflict of interest. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Uman ein lo chazakah. So what Rabbi Yochanan said, Uman, right, a craftsman does not have chazakah. So we'll say that's no different than anything we've set up until now, right? And Uman does not have chazakah for one simple reason, because there's a legitimate reason other than ownership that object is in his possession, namely because it's his profession. So says the Gemara, Ben Aris yesh lo chazakah. Aris ein lo chazakah. A sharecropper doesn't have chazakah either. We'll say for the reasons we said before. Uman ein lo chazakah. Ben Uman yesh lo chazakah. An Uman does not have a chazakah. The son of an Uman does have a chazakah. We'll define what that case is. Aris ein lo chazakah. Sharecropper has no chazakah. Ben Aris yesh lo chazakah. The son of a sharecropper does have chazakah. Gazlan u ben gazlan ein lo chazakah. We'll say a thief and the son of a thief, neither of them have chazakah. Ben beno shel gazlan. What about the grandson, the enikel of a gazlan? You don't put that on the family tree. But all right, right? But it's ben beno shel gazlan. So what happens? Yesh lo chazakah. We'll say he does have a chazakah. Okay. So it says Gemara hechi dami. So what's the case? I mean, what are the circumstances here? Says the Gemara, I asu b'ta'anasa davuhun. So I'll say if all of these people are coming through the claims of their father. In other words, if their claim to ownership ultimately, again, is the fact that their father had possession of these objects, then afilu hanach nami lo. So meaning, if a ben aris is coming along and saying, I inherited this from my father, who claimed possession of this for 3 years, then of course, again, Abbas is coming as an extension of his father, and he has no chazakah either, because that chazakah, again, is a derivative of his father's chazakah, which was not a chazakah. Same thing with the Uman. But we'll say, if these people are coming forward with claims of their own, in other words, if the Ben Aris is coming along and he's saying, I am the owner of this property because I've held it for 3 years under these particular circumstances. Nothing to do with my father. Same thing with the Ben Uman. Then Abosai, then what? Then even the son of the Gazlan should be able to make a claim of Chazakah as well. To which the Gemara says, what's the case? Latzricha, dika'amri edim b'faneinu hodalo. So Abosai, the case over here is where witnesses come forward, and witnesses come forward and say that the original owner of the land, in fact, admitted in front of witnesses that he sold the land to these people's father. In other words, the fathers being the Uman, the Aris, and the Gazlan. So we'll say that's what's happening over here. So these children, the Ben Aris, the Ben Uman, and the Ben Gazlan are showing up. Obviously, we'll say three independent cases. And witnesses are saying, we testify that the original owner of the land sold the land to this person's father, to the original Aris, to the original Uman, to the original Gazlan. Now, let's analyze this. So says the Gemara, Hanach, Ikalamemar Kushtakamish. Sabosai, that is believable Eidos in the case of an Aris and a case of an Uman. Okay, that's believable. Also, again, remember, just because a person is an artist doesn't mean he doesn't own land also. And just because a person is an Uman doesn't mean he doesn't own utensils. So if witnesses show up at Beis Din and say, listen, we testify to the fact that Befaneinu in front of us, the original owner of this object sold it to the original Uman, or sold it to the original artist, Kushti, alright, I can believe that. Hi, however, Rabosi, when it comes to the Gazlan, if Edim show up in Beis Din and they say, remember, the Ben Gazlan is showing up in Beis Din, he says, I am the owner of this property. And witnesses show up, or object, doesn't matter what it is, and witnesses show up, and they say, you know what, the original owner sold this property to the Gazlan. We saw that happen. So, hi, Afagav de odi nami lo mehemen. Rabbi said, even if the witnesses come along and testify to the fact that this was sold, ultimately again to the father of, or to the Uman, excuse me, to the Gazlan, they're still not believed. Why? Kidrav Hamnuna. Because Rabbi said, Kidrav Kahana. The Amrav Kahana. Ilav de odi le. Hava memati le ulechamri leshachvar. Both said this is actually quite interesting because the presumption is the following: were it not for the fact that the original owner gave over possession of this object to the gazlan, what was he afraid of? Look at Rashbam. Ilav de odile. Rashbam says kind of in the middle of where the lines are wider, the intermediate lines. Ilav de odile nigzal gazlan. Were it not for the fact that the victim went ahead and agreed to the gazlan to sell the property. So says Rashbam the following. So they both say, when you have a sale with a gazlan, that sale, or the validity of that sale, is always suspect. Why? Because they both say, if somebody stole something from me, and then says, you know what, I want to do tshuva, but I'd like to buy it from you. Are you willing to buy it from me? So what's the Gemara is concerned that when somebody has already demonstrated an ability to steal from another, if I don't do what they want, I'm concerned. Literally what this means is, that ultimately, again, he's going to go ahead and give over my property to the authorities. In other words, that if I don't go ahead and sell him what he's asking for, he's going to make trouble for me. Therefore, the Gemara suggests over here that even if there is Eidos, that the person sold the property to the Gazlan. So remember again, Abosai, his case is the Gazlan stole the property, then returned the property, but said, I want to return it, but I want you to sell it to me. Even if there's Eidos that sale took place, the Gemara says, we question the validity of that sale, because we're concerned that it was probably performed under some type of duress, and therefore that Eidos does not automatically solidify the right and the claim and the ownership of the son of the Gazlan to that particular property. So both say, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. So really, the same exact case in two different scenarios plays out two different ways. In the case of the Uman, or the case of the Aris, if the son of the Uman, son of the Aris, has the property, and witnesses show up and they say, Befanenu, in our presence, the original owner sold this property to the Aris, to the Uman, then Abbas said that is enough to solidify the ownership of the son. But in that same case of Gezel, where the son of the Gazlan shows up with the property in his possession, and the Eidim say, we saw the owner sell it to the Gazlan, Abbas said, because we're concerned that occurred under duress, that Eidos will not solidify the right of the son of the Gazlan to the property. Amar Rava. Rava says, Pamim, Shafilu ben beno shal Gazlan ami elo chazaka. So Rava says, the truth is, there are times where Rava say, even what? Even the grandson of a Gazlan will not have a chazaka. We'll say, what's that case? It's actually very straightforward. Hechidami, kigom de ka'asi b'ta'anasa da'aba da'avuo. We'll say, that would be a case where what? That would be a case where the grandson is coming forward with a claim of ownership based on his grandfather. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is saying over here is if the grandson essentially says, well, listen, this property has been in my family for three generations since my Zayda stole it. You know, right? You know, he's obviously not saying that, but since my grandfather, so we'll say if his claim of ownership is a multi-generational claim that's only based on the fact that his grandfather had it, and we know that his grandfather had it through theft, that does not establish chazaka. To which the Imam says, hey, chidami gazlan. We'll say, what is the case of gazlan? The Rashbam brings down, hey, chidami gazlan. Also, she'im l'chazaka. We'll say, specifically what we're asking about is the following. What is the case of a gazlan, or what is the type of gazlan who cannot establish chazaka? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, kigon shehochsak al sadeh zu begazlanusa. So Rabbi Yochanan says that it's a case where a person establishes, look at the Rashbam, al sadeh zu ubahu sadehu de'en lo chazaka v'al b'shar sadeh zu yesh chazaka. So we'll say, comes along Rabbi Yochanan says, Shuchsik asad zu begazlanusa, where again it's known that he stole this field. So we'll say, when we say gazlan ein lo chazaka, what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to say is the following. That only applies to the field in question, or to the field which he stole. It does not preclude his ability to establish chazaka on other parcels of land. What Rabbi Yochanan is coming to say is the following. You might have thought that gazlan ein lo chazaka means that what? That once a person is a gazlan, he has lost the right to establish ownership through chazaka because he's no longer trustworthy. Comes on Rabbi Yochanan to say no. When we say gazlan ein lo chazaka, that only means ein lo chazaka for the property which he is accused of stealing. But for other properties or for other items, he absolutely has the ability to establish chazaka. For Rav Chista says, kigon debeis ploni shahargin nefashos al iske mamon. Rav Chista says, no. The truth is, it's not a din on the property, it's a din on the person. So Rav Chista says, what does it mean, gazla in chazaka? That's the type of people, he says, for example, kigon beis ploni, like of a certain family, where they kill people over money. Now look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Kigon shal beis ploni shahargin, anshe rishayim hayu. These people, apparently the Gemara chooses not to name by name, these individuals were exceptionally evil. Shahayamakir bahem Rav Chista, shahargin nefashos al iske mamon, elem chazaka bishum karka ba'olam, shekol adam yari limchos ben v'kamel ketivah. So we'll say, it's very interesting. So we'll say, so over here comes along Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, so we'll say, it's like a real chakira. Is this a dinah mechefza, or is it a dinah megavra? Right, so how do we understand the gazlan? So on one hand, your first opinion says, gazlan is a din in the karka, that ultimately, again, if I am accused, or there's word going around that I stole property, then I don't have chazaka in that property. Does that make me a gazlan vis-a-vis other things, to which the Gemara answers? No. Other things, I could have a chazaka, as long as there's no kol that I stole. It doesn't preclude my ability to establish chazaka in other areas. On the other hand, Rav Chista comes along and says, no, the gazlan is a reference to a type of person. And this is the kind of person, ultimately, again, who would kill someone else over monetary matters, over money. Because I will say, such a person like that can never establish chazaka. Why? Because I will say, what's going to happen? A person like that is going to set up shop on Reuven's field. And what's going to happen? Reuven's going to say nothing. Why? Very simply, he doesn't want to lose his life. I see, you're going to say, he doesn't say anything for 3 years. That's chazaka. Of course it's not chazaka. That's not chazaka, that's just called fear. So such a person like that never really establishes chazaka because his uninterrupted usage of any particular parcel of land is not demonstrative of his ownership, it's just simply demonstrative of the fear that people have of him. So I must say, so Rashbam points out in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we actually accept both of these approaches, that both of these people would represent the halachic gazlan. Obviously, someone who kills over money, I will say, is obvious that such a person at the end can't really establish chazaka because at the end of the day, the owner's silence in his face is not demonstrative of ownership. But lamaisa, again, also his inability to go ahead and his identity of a gazlan, according to the first approach, is only dafka on the piece of property that he stole. But if he's not the kind of person that kills people for money, then lamaisa, he'll only be a gazlan vis-a-vis the piece of property he stole, but we'll have the ability to establish chazaka on other pieces of property. Tanu Rabbanan, uman ein lo chazaka. So again, we'll say, Bryce, it says, an uman doesn't have a chazaka, right? Can't establish chazaka. Listen, and by the way, we've said this, but we'll say it again over here. When we speak about an uman not being able to establish chazaka, we're going to see this shortly in the Gemara, it means he can't establish chazaka over the type of items with which he works. So for example, if I make pots, so I don't have a chazaka vis-a-vis pots, but if I have a chazaka vis-a-vis a car, or vis-a-vis a watch, things that are not my umnas. On the other hand, yad me umnaso, if the uman stopped practicing, yesh lo chazaka. So I'll say the idea over here is, you only lack chazaka when lemaisa you are practicing uman. But if you are retired uman, therefore again, you have the ability to establish chazaka. Aris, a sharecropper, ain't no chazaka, doesn't have the ability to establish chazaka. We'll say this is all just information we've seen already before. Again, remember, these are all people who have permission to either be on certain parcels of land or who have the right to go ahead and be working with certain utensils. Therefore, the fact that they were on land for 3 years doesn't establish chazaka. The fact that they had utensils in their possession doesn't establish chazaka. But once they retire, they have the ability to establish chazaka.
His own that he made for himself, he can't have chazaka even over those. So technically someone could come in and he better just keep them out of his store.
Correct. He'd be better off keeping them off site. That is correct. Look, at the end of the day, the ability to defend oneself against frivolous claims, no legal system could ever protect you from that. I could file suit that wallet in your, that wallet in your pocket is mine. And again, you would have to, I could summon you to Beis Din for it to say that you stole my wallet. And he would say, it's ridiculous. You're going to have to defend it. you're going to have to defend it. Sein achinami. With frivolous claims, it would be wonderful to create a system where we could defend from it, but it's not possible. Says the Gemara the following. Ben, shechalak vishesh and eskash. Well, let's listen to the next two cases. A son, Ben shechalak Rabbi says, a son, look at the Rashbam. Fourth to last line. First white line. Ben shechalak, hiflik me'aveh ve'in samuch od ashul chano. Well, said, this is talking about a son who is no longer supported by his father. Kegon shenasa isha. It's such a novel idea. Right? So what happens? When he gets married, he becomes financially independent. Who ever heard of such a thing like this? Right? I never heard of that, right? So what happens? He gets married, he becomes financially independent. And I both say he is no longer involved, he's no longer involved in the property of his father. So I both say, Hari hein kechol adam, afagav v'san lo ishchor. Both say, the idea of Ben Shechalak is a son who becomes financially independent of his father. Nothing to do with the property of his father. Or the isha shen is garsha, or a woman whose husband divorces her. Harehin kishar kol b'nei adam. So we'll say, these are like any other people. In other words, what does it mean that they're like other people? That lamaisa, again, if a son occupies land that once upon a time belonged, that we knew belonged to his father, and he's there for 3 years uninterrupted, that establishes chazaka. Or if a woman gets divorced and she lives on land that was previously known to be owned by her ex-husband, and she lives there for 3 years, she establishes chazaka. So says the Gemara, Harein kishar kolodam, bishlama ben shechalak itzterich. So I understand why you need to bring down the case of the son who separated from his father. Because he will say, I might have thought that if a son, even if he's financially independent of his father, and he lives on his father's property for 3 years uninterrupted, I would have said, that's not chazaka. That's not chazaka. Right? Why? Because achuli achil gabe, the father's mochel. The father's mochel. I mean, the parent doesn't mind if the child lives on the property. So that's not demonstrative of chazaka. Therefore, the Gemara says, kamash malon delo. Kamash malon, know that once the son becomes a separate financial entity than his father, then ultimately, again, the father should be careful with preserving his ownership of property. And if he does not object to the son living there for 3 years, that establishes the chazaka of the son. I don't understand. The case of where a couple gets divorced, and now a woman lives on property that we knew to belong to the husband for 3 years. I'm sorry, it was bad English. The woman lives on the property for 3 years, and that property was previously known to belong to the husband. So I say, obviously she establishes chazaka. In other words, they're separate entities. They're divorced. So why would you think that she doesn't establish chazaka? Lo tzricha, says the Gemara, I need it for the following case. Amud Beis, because we'll say the case over here, we'll say is a case of Safek Gerushin. We'll say the case of Safek Gerushin, remember again, Rashbam brings down, this is a throwback to our Gittin days. So the Gemara says, Megureshes, Kigon, Zarak La Get, Safek Karov La, Safek Karov Lo, Debay La Chayeb Mezonosel, Ad Yoev La Get Vada Kreb Zera. So as I listen to this, remember again, we had this case of many moons ago. Husband throws his wife a get. If again, it's a suffix, if it was closer to him, closer to her. So we'll say that is a case of suffix migureshas. That is a case of doubtful divorce. Now the only way to remedy that is he has to give her another get. What's her status in the interim? What's her status in the time between the time that happens and the time that she actually receives her get? So what's it? She's what's called Safek Migureshes, right? It's a case of Safek Gerushin. So what's it? So what do you do in a case of Safek Migureshes? Amrab Zira, Amrab Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amr Shmuel, Kol Makom She'amru Chachamim Migureshes Ve'Eino Migureshes, Baila Chayev B'Mezon Osel. So what's it? At the end of the day, the halacha is, any case of Migureshes, the husband is obligated to continue to support her. Now watch this, Rav Osei. So now here's our case, says the Gemara. Woman who Safek Migureshes is living on land that was known to belong to the husband. She's been living there now for 3 years. So what did the Braisa say? The Braisa taught me that she establishes Chazaka. So look at the fourth line in on the Rashbam. V'yaniach la baal karko zu b'yada, k'dei sh'tizo miperosel, v'lo havya chazaka, kamash malon, t'havya chazaka, t'cheivan d'hischil begirushin. So listen to this. I would have thought, in this case of Safek Migureshes, husband lets her live on a piece of land, I would have thought, he's not conveying ownership to her. Rather, what is he doing? he's allowing her to support herself from that land. I have to say, Halzen says, until I give you another get, I have the obligation to support you. Here, here's this piece of land. I'm supporting you through this piece of land. So I might have thought there for Abosai, there is no chazaka for her in this case. Kamashon says the Gemara, no. Even this woman who is Safik Migureshes, if she lives on this land uncontested for 3 years, she establishes Chazaka. Why? Says, look what Rashi says. Because the assumption is that if they're getting divorced, they dislike each other. If they're getting divorced, he's not giving her land for her mazonos. What he is going to Abosai is what? He's going to go out and figure out the bare minimum that he is obligated to give her, and he will give her that. Basin gives him the bill, that's when he'll go ahead and provide for mazonos. But he is not going to give her a tract of land. Therefore, Abosai, if it turns out that's what? That she does occupy a tract of land, and she lives there for 3 years, and there is no objection raised by the husband, the last known owner, that is demonstrative of her ownership, and she establishes chazak. Amazing halacha. So says the Gemara, Rav Nachman of Amar Lihuna, Kulan Sheviu Raya, Ra'ayasan Raya, Uma'amidan Sada Biyadan. So we'll say now we're going back a little bit. Kulan, Rebosa means all of those people that we mentioned previously. Now, who do we mention previously? Rashbam says, Uman, Aris, Bechohanach, Tele Elda, Amrim, Lechazak. So we'll say all of those people who we said before don't have a chazakah. Like an Uman, like an Aris, right? The craftsman, a sharecropper. All of those people who we said don't have a chazakah, if they bring a raya, Rashi brings down, raya is shtar mechira, o edi mechira. If they bring a shtar, a document, or they bring witnesses that the original owner sold them the property, then what? Raya, raya san raya, uma amida san the biyana. All the Gemara is saying over here, although it's quite obvious, is when we say uman in lo chazakah, or aris in lo chazakah, what that means is they can't establish chazakah simply by possession, through possession. But if they bring a raya to their ownership, they bring edim that they bought the property, or they bring a shtar that says they own the property, then what? Then of course it goes without saying that they own the property. Says the Gemara, aye, what about Gazlan? Gazlan shevi raya in raya sa raya. But we'll say if a Gazlan, a thief brings a raya, so then again, that raya is not a proper raya. Rashbam says, Gazlan shevi raya, Eide mechira, eide hoda, aval matamosva. So let's listen to this. So if a Gazlan goes ahead and brings a raya, he brings witnesses that said that the original owner sold it to me. Okay? So that is not going to be a raya. Ve'ein ma'amid in sada biyado. And I will say, even if the Gazlan is able to say, yes, I know I originally stole the field, but then I returned it to the owner, and he sold it to me, and here are the witnesses that saw him sold it to me, that he sold it to me, that is not a good raya. Why? My Kamashalan says, what's the novelty? Tanina, we'll say, actually learned this already. Lakach misikrikon, v'chazr v'lakach mi balabayis, mikho batal. Supposed to listen to this. We learned about a sikrikon before. A sikrikon is somebody who extorts land from someone else. The Rashbam brings that over here. Second white line, the Rashbam. Lakach mi sikrikon, mi gazlon nachri horig nefashos al iskei mamon. This is a Gentile thief who goes in and will kill people over money. Shomer lo, sa karkozu, vinichani, umasna umatana zu, lo havya, amatana, da filo mandamar tal yuv zabin zvini zivinu tal yuv yuv lo havya. So we're not going to get into that right now. So you're going to see the following. So what's happening over here? I purchased from a sikrikun. Now, again, just the order of situation over his time. Reuven has land. The sikrikun goes ahead and takes the land. Or I should say, he prevails upon Reuven to gift him the land. Right? He prevails upon to gift him the land. Reuven feels prevailed upon and indeed goes ahead and gifts the land to the sikrikun. I then go ahead and purchase the land from the sikrikun, and I then go back in what? I then go back and repurchase the land from Reuven as well. So I know what happened over here. I know how the sikrikun got the land. So I know the sikrikun got the land inappropriately. So I get it from the sikrikun, and then I go back and I also purchase it again from Reuven, the original owner. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, even though I go back and I purchase that again from Reuven, the original owner, the sale is not a good one. Mekhobata. Why? Well, say, take a look at the last few lines of that same Rashbam. Avlakach misikrikun. Afilu hachi lo karna lokeach. Nevertheless, lokeach does not purchase. He does, It's not a proper purchase. Why? The machmas pacha de sikrikun hikna lo lokeach. The chayvan de inrayas lokeach mi gazlan raya. I feel the kiyadav is on mi balabayas koshikin. The koshikin de inrayas the gazlan asks us to listen to this. So at the end of the day, says the Gemara, even if I go back and repurchase it from the original owner, it's still not a good sale. Why? Because also the original owner would be scared not to sell it. What is he scared about? He's scared that the sikrikun is going to come back and do something. Therefore, again, even though I purchased it from the Sikrikun and go back and purchase it again from Reuben, the original owner, that sale is not valid because it's considered to be occurring under duress. Because Reuben, the original owner, knows he has no choice but to sell it to me and a fear that the Sikrikun is going to come back. So says the Gemara. So we'll say if that's the case, then certainly in the case of the Gazlan, we'll say, right? Let's say again, Gazlan steals property from Reuven, then returns it, and then decides he wants to buy it. So we'll say, the fact that Reuven decides to sell it from him, so that's not a raya. Reuven could very easily feel intimidated, or could feel scared. The assumption is this, again, is a sale that is occurring under duress, and therefore, again, even though the Gazlan shows up with Eidim, it does not solidify his claim to the field, to which the Gemara says, Lafuki midrav da amarav, so we'll say this comes to us with the position of Rav. Because what does Rav say? Rav says like this, so we'll say, when do we say that if you go ahead and you repurchase it from the original owner after purchasing it from the Sikrikun, that it's not a good sale? That's only when the original owner says, sure, go ahead, Lech Chazik Vakani, go ahead, go acquire the field. Aval Bishtar, Rav will say, if Reuven says, let's draw up a document, then kana. Then ultimately, again, the purchaser does have the ability to acquire. So we'll say, what's the distinction? The distinction is, if the original owner just says, sure, go ahead and acquire it. So we'll say, we assume that, what is he saying? Leave me alone. Right? I really have no choice in this matter, so just go and take whatever you're going to take. But however, if he says, go draw up a shtar, so we'll say, that is what? That is indicative of his willingness to actually commit to this transaction. Kamash malon ki de Shmuel, the af bishtar nami lokana at shiichtov achrayis nechasim. So we'll say, Kamash on that, how do we paskin? We paskin like Shmuel, who says that even if the original owner would say to the Gazlan, or to the person who purchased the Sikrikun, go write a shtar, that's not going to be enough. We'll say, the only thing that demonstrates the original owner's willingness to engage in this transaction is what? Is if he says, fine, I'll sell it to you, and I'll even take achrayis for the sale. So we'll say, now watch this. What the Gemara is saying is the following. That at the end of the day, if Lamaisa, I go back, so let's say I purchase it from the Sikrikun, and then I go back and I purchase it from Reuven, and Reuven says, okay, I'll sell it to you, and I ask Reuven to sell to me with Achrayis. And we'll say, what does Achrayis mean? Achrayis means that Lamaisa, again, should one of Reuven's creditors come and take the land from me, that Reuven will make me whole. And we'll say, if Reuven is willing to take Achrayis of the sale, then what? Then that shows that he's really vested in the sale. The one case where all of this would work, is if, let's say the Gazlan steals from Reuven, and then he comes back and he purchases it from Reuven, and Reuven says, I'll sell to you, and I'll even sell to you with Achrayis, then what Rabbi say? That's demonstrative, ultimately, of the fact that Reuven is willing to go ahead and really selling the land with a leiv shalim. But if at the end of the day, Reuven just goes ahead and agrees to the sale, that's not demonstrative of his willingness, because it's just as possible that what? It's just as possible that, again, he feels some level of coercion in order to participate in this sale. He feels some level of coercion, and therefore feels no choice but to sell the property as well. For Rav Bibi, so Rav Bibi says the father, Rav Bibi, Messiah, but Mishved Rav Nachman, Karka Elo, Ava Mo'os Yesha. So both say, remember again, Rav Bibi is going back to the case of where the Gazlan brings a raya. In the case of a Gazlan brings a raya, he will say, Karka ain't low, the Gazlan, Rav Bibi, has no claim to the property of a mo'os yesho. Rav Bibi, he will have a claim to the money. Now what does that mean? See, Rav Bibi, if a Gazlan shows up with Eidim that says that he bought the property, so now what you're saying is, he doesn't get the property because the concern is that the original owner sold it to him under coercion. So Rabbi says, so now Gemara Rabbi is coming along and saying, you're right, the Gazlan will not have right to the property. But Rabbi says, if there's Eidos that he sold it, then what? If he's not going to get the property, he is entitled to what? To get a refund of his money. In other words, the case of Rabbi over here is that he bought the property from Reuven, the original owner. So you're going to tell me now he doesn't get title to the property because Reuven is selling under duress. That's fine, but then make sure at least the Gazlan gets back his money. Medjar Amurim, when is that so? Sha'amru Edim Befanenu Manal. Rabbi said, that's only if Edim say, we saw the Gazlan literally count out the money to the Nigzal, to Ruvain, in front of us. Hava Amru Edim Befanenu Hodalo Lo. Rabbi said, if all the Edim say, is that what? That in front of us, Ruvain, the original owner of the land, admitted that he sold the land to the Gazlan, that is not enough edus to go ahead and demand Reuven to refund money. Take a look at the Rashbam. About Amru Eidim Befaninu Hod, about 7 lines there from the bottom. Nigzal the Gazlan, Shekiba Menu Adamim, O Shekasu Bishtar Mechira, Vikach Amar Adonu, Havu Alai Eidim Shekibalti Menu Adamim, O Machartilo, Lo Yachzer Lo Ma'os the Gazlan. So we'll say, all the witnesses say, is that what? Reuven admitted that he sold the property to the Gazlan, then I will say ultimately again that is not enough of a hoda to generate a financial obligation. Kidraf Kahana the Amar Ilav the Odile Havimati Le Lidide Ulacharme the Shachbar. Because we'll say out of concern that we said before, like Rav Kahana said, Rav Kahana, whenever dealing with a thief, there's always a concern that if you don't do what they ask of you, then what? Then somehow they'll make trouble for you, report you to the authorities, and ultimately again require you to give up much more of your property. So we'll say, so bottom line, what the Gemara says over here is that a Gazlan is going to have an incredibly difficult time establishing chazaka. Why? Because we'll say, even if he somehow manages to quote unquote purchase the item from the victim, the question is, was that transaction, was that sale committed under duress? Did the victim, the original owner of the property, the victim of the thief, now the thief wants to buy it, that's very nice, but does he really feel like he has a choice in selling it to the thief or not? It appears from the Gemara that in general we assume that such a transaction will have occurred under duress. The only time it appears that we could really say that the owner of the property did this willingly is how? Is if he sells the property back to the Gazan with what? With achrayis. If he sells it back with achrayis, with responsibility, if the property is seized by any of the original owner's creditors, then that's indicative that he's fully vested in this sale, and then the Gazan will be able to establish chazaka based on that. So we'll stop over here, share with you a short idea on the parasha.